All right, let's go to Revelation chapter 7. Revelation chapter 7. Revelation chapter 7, and we'll read the entire chapter. So Revelation chapter 7, 1 through 17. And after these things I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, "Hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads." And I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. Of the tribe of Judah were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Reuben were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Gad were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Asher were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Nephthalim were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Manasseh were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Simeon were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Levi were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Issachar were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Zebulun were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Joseph were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Benjamin were sealed 12,000. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cry with a loud voice, saying, "Salvation to our God which sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb." And all the angels stood round about the throne and about the elders of the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces and worshipped God, saying, "Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen." And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, "What are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they?" And I said unto him, "Sir, thou knowest." And he said to me, "These are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. Neither shall the sun light on them nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes." Now, last week we looked at and finished looking at the sixth seal, but between the sixth seal and the opening of the seventh seal, there's almost like a pause. It's what's called a parenthetical section of Revelation, where again, there's some truth that is mentioned here. And what John sees, he sees two groups of people. All right, but in our introduction, it says this is the first of the major parenthetical sections of Revelation, where the general chronological flow of the book is interrupted by topical sections which explain major events and characters of the book. And examples are Revelation 7 here, the 144,000 Jewish evangelists and their converts, because in Revelation 7, there are two groups of people. The first group are the 144,000 Jewish evangelists that are chosen out of the 12 tribes, and then it goes to the converts, those that are saved under their preaching during the tribulation. All right, and just so you know, we won't get into the second group this morning. This time we'll take up all of group one that we talk about, all right? So group two we'll talk about, actually not next Sunday, but two Sundays, because there's no Sunday school next Sunday, all right? But back to the introduction. So Revelation chapter 7 mentions the Jewish evangelists and their converts. Revelation 10 also has a heavenly announcement. Revelation 11 talks about the two witnesses. Revelation 12 and chapters 13 talk about the Satan, the Antichrist, the false prophet. Revelation 14 has a heavenly pronouncement. And 17 and 18 talk about the mystery of Babylon. Now, interesting that chapter 7 and 14 both talk about the 144,000 Jewish evangelists. And we will look at chapter 14 in just a moment. All right, and again, there are two groups mentioned in this chapter, the tribulation evangelists and the tribulation saints. Because think about this and why chapter 7 is very important for the tribulation, because there are some that believe no one gets saved during the tribulation because, well, if the Holy Spirit's gone, the church is gone, who's witnessing for Christ? Well, again, when you study out the Bible, you come to see that there are different dispensations. In the Old Testament, the dispensation was you were to fear God, you were to follow his commandments, you were to become a follower of God, Jehovah. And that's why you even have the book of Ruth. Ruth left her Moabite family. She left the gods of the Moabs and said, you know what, I want to be where God is. I want to be where his people are. She chose to leave her false idols and follow the true living God. All right. Then you have the dispensation of the age of grace, which we are in and have been in since the death of Jesus Christ and the resurrection of Christ. We're in the age of grace where people are saved by grace, by putting their faith and trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ. But guess what? There are many that reject Jesus Christ. That when the rapture happens and the believers are taken out and the Holy Spirit is removed, well, how does anybody get saved if no one's preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ? Well, the age of grace will be passed, and there will be a new dispensation, which we'll look at next in 2 weeks with the second group, but it's back to fearing God. What was John the Baptist's message? When John the Baptist came onto the scene and he was preaching, you know, he had his camel's hair, he had his leathern girdle, you know, eating wild locusts and honey. What was his message? He was preaching the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent. What was Jesus' message? When you look at the Gospels, he was preaching the kingdom of God is at hand. He was preaching the same message that John was teaching and preaching. But when Jesus died, buried, and rose again, what was Paul's message? What was the message of the apostles? It was believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. They said nothing about the kingdom of God is at hand. They were preaching grace. They were preaching Ephesians 2:8, saved by grace, right? And again, we'll get into all of the salvation in a couple of weeks when we look at the second group. But again, God is not willing that any should perish. Isn't that what the Bible says? God's not willing that any should perish, but all would come to repentance. All right? So God chooses 144,000 Jewish evangelists. So look at, if you would, look at verses 1 through 8. All right? Verses 1 through 8. And after these things, I, being John, I saw. So, again, after John saw the earthquake, all right, after John saw the earthquake under the sixth seal and all that happened there, he says, and after these things I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth. Is the earth flat? Four corners of the earth? Is it flat and square? I mean, some people thought it was, right? And Christopher Columbus proved it wasn't, all right? People don't like to credit Christopher Columbus. I mean, but anyway, the four standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth. Again, that's speaking of the four directions: the north, the south, east, west. Okay, the angels are there. All right, holding the four winds of the earth, that the winds should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. Who else has a seal in the tribulation that's going to be sealing people in their foreheads or in their hand? Who is that? false god, Satan, the Antichrist. He has a seal, right? Because Revelation says that they take the mark of the beast in their forehead or in their right hand. You can't buy, sell, do anything unless you have that mark. And if you refuse to take the mark of the beast, you're killed, all right? Well, God has his own seal. Again, remember, everything the devil does is the opposite of what God does, all right? And again, he's a deceiver, so whatever God has, he's going to have something the opposite, all right? So he has his mark. His mark is what? Says it's the number of man, and the Bible tells us 666, all right? It's very clear, 666, right? You realize that I had gotten some things right in my life. I had turned my life over to the Lord. I was excited. I called up a relative to let them know, hey, guess what? I just got saved, you know, and all this stuff. And then I asked them, are you saved? Oh, yeah, I am. I know what the mark of the beast is. It's the credit card. I don't know what that has to do with are you saved or not, but I wasn't around when the credit cards first came out, all right? Wherever, you know, the credit card's got the number on it. And apparently it was taught or believed that, you know, when that came out, oh, this is the mark of the beast because everyone has a number. Because the Bible says, right, and you buy with it, okay? So people, oh, no, you know, it's the mark of the beast. I don't want a credit card and all that. Okay, don't hold it in your right hand then. Hold it in your left hand. Okay, it's because it's the mark of the beast is going to be in your hand or in your forehead. Well, then the barcode came out. Remember the barcode when that first came? Oh, that's the mark of the beast, right? Now, we're uncertain what it's going to be. We know that there's going to be a mark, okay? God says it's the mark of the beast, 666, okay? So does that mean everyone's going to have 666 on their forehead? It's going to be something that, you know what, you can't buy or sell. I'm sure the barcode has something to do with it because they have chips now that can be implanted on you that has information that they have a chip reader. You put your hand up to it and it reads what's on the chip. And as I'm thinking about this, I'll look it up, but there is a company, I forget if it's in Great Britain, it's somewhere over in Europe. Peter, maybe you might know, but there is a company that actually all their employees have chips in their hand, and that's the only way they can get into the building. Did you hear about that? All right, so, you know, so that's already something that's being done. It's not like some futuristic, you know, sci-fi, that's kind of out. No, they are already doing that. They do it in animals, right? I have a cat that has a chip in her. So if she gets lost, guess what? We can find her because they can track her, all right? So, again, the mark of the beast, all right? But God has a mark, all right? So in Revelation chapter 7, God kind of takes, I want to say takes a step back, but takes kind of a break from opening the seals to kind of reveal this, all right? Very plain as day that people do get saved during the tribulation, all right? But who is it that's preaching a gospel? Who is it that is preaching repentance? Who is it that's preaching the kingdom of God? Because people rejected Christ, all right? So they're in this 7-year tribulation, all right? So those that rejected Christ before the rapture, God turns them over to a reprobate mind. They believe a strong delusion. They are doomed, all right? But obviously those that are born, those children that are growing up, those that did not reject Christ, maybe never heard, all right, they're given the opportunity, as well as Jews and Gentiles, to be saved. But again, God says in verse number 2, revealing to John, I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God, and he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea. So these four angels who have the power to hurt the earth and the sea, they're told, oh, wait up, don't start the destruction yet. Saying, verse 3, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. And I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes, of the children of Israel. Now, right off the bat, all right, who could these 144,000 Jewish men be? And I say men, and I'll show you a minute. It's not women. It's 144,000 Jewish men that are sealed by God, having God's seal upon them as they go through the tribulation, because they are the ones that will be preaching the kingdom of God. They'll be preaching Jesus Christ, not grace, not salvation by grace, because that was rejected during the age of grace. Okay, now they're in a different dispensation, but it's still faith. It's still putting their faith and trust in God and in his Christ. But who are these men? Who are these 144,000? I already said Jewish men, but back the Jehovah Witnesses, they had to change their doctrine, but if you're familiar with the Jehovah Witnesses, they believed and taught that if you were a Jehovah Witness, you would be, you're the 144,000. Nobody else. You have to be a Jehovah Witness to be one of the 144,000. Obviously, they didn't read their Bible, because you read through it. Who are the 144,000? They're Jews. Okay? They're Jews. So I think it was, well, I understand, early 70s, they had to change their doctrine, because by 1970, they had more than 144,000 Jewish, or not Jewish, but Jehovah Witnesses. So they had to change their doctrine because, you know, which one of us are part of the 144,000, right? Because it's a lie. You know, it's leading people, so they had to change their doctrine. But isn't the Bible, isn't God so clear on who the 144,000 are? Are they Gentiles? Who are they? They're Jews. From every tribe, from the 12 tribes of Israel. All right? Very clear. But let's keep a finger here, but go to Revelation chapter 14, because Revelation chapter 14 mentions these 144,000. So let's just kind of dive in. And again, we're not here for the tribulation. So we know that they are Jews. They're Jewish men. And chapter 14 is going to give us some more clues about these men. But the question will remain, are these 144,000, are they Jews that are saved during the tribulation? And then God seals them, and then they can go out preaching without, because when you read, when you keep reading at chapter 14 and on, the Antichrist, he can't do anything to them. But then there comes a point where God allows him to be able to fight against them and kill them. But up until the point that God gives him the ability to take their life, they're unstoppable. And the question, and nobody knows, and no one can, you know, if you want to be true, you have to admit, we don't know if these get saved during or if they're from a different time. And I'll show you some scriptures, all right? Again, can't say exactly who they are, but as you study your Bible, there are things in the Old Testament that are mirrored in the New Testament and vice versa, okay? Scripture, comparing Scripture with Scripture is the best thing to do, all right? Again, can't be dogmatic and say, okay, these 144,000 are, but we can, okay, think about it. Think about the possibilities. And again, we're going to go through this. So chapter 14, all right, look at verses 1 through 5. And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion, or Sion, and with him, okay, first of all, who's the lamb? Okay. And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his father's name written in their foreheads. What chapter 7 say? They would be sealed. Okay, so these are the same 144,000. All right, and they have the Father's name written in their foreheads. And all those that follow the Antichrist have their Father's name in their forehead or in their right hand. Verse 2, and I heard a voice from heaven, as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of a great thunder. And I heard the voice of the harpers harping with their harps. And they sung, as it were, a new song before the throne. The 144,000 are singing the new song. And before the four beasts and the elders. Remember, who are the elders? You go back, our study several weeks later or earlier. That's the church. We looked at the church, the 24 elders, okay? So these 144,000 are singing before the throne, before the beasts, and the elders. So it's not the church singing. This isn't the church. And no man could learn that song but the 144,000. And later on, when it talks about everybody that's in heaven that's saved, it says a number you can't number, just a multitude of nations and languages and tongues that you can't name. But here there's only 144,000, okay, that are singing this song, this new song. And it goes on to say, which were redeemed from the earth. These are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. 144,000 men who are virgins, never been married, never fornicated, never been with a woman. For they are virgins, these are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. And in their mouth was found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of God. That almost sounds like they were sinless. No guile, never said a wrong word, never blasphemed God, never cursed God, and they're faultless before God. I mean, we're covered by the blood of the Lamb. We're, you know, we have the righteousness of Christ, right? We're robed in his righteousness, but we still have a sin nature. We're sinners saved by grace. I'm not faultless before God. My sins are washed by the blood of the Lamb, but the Bible tells me in 1 John 1:9, I have to confess my sin, and he'll forgive me and cleanse me of my unrighteousness. Okay? I still have to ask God for forgiveness when I do something wrong. Okay? And obviously, we get the forgiveness because of Jesus Christ. Now, in these five verses, several things are mentioned about these 144,000. In your notes, verse 1, they have the Father's name in their forehead. In verse 3, they have a song they sing that only they can sing and nobody else. Also in verse 3 and 4, they're redeemed from the earth among men. Okay. And I list all this and mention it because there are so many false teachings out there about the 144,000. I don't want to spend my time going through it, just giving you what the Bible says. Okay. Verse 4, not defiled with women, so they're virgins. 144,000 virgins? That kind of blows my mind. What, they never wanted to be married? They never wanted to have a family? Verse 4 as well, they follow the Lamb everywhere. But also in verse 4 it says, first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. Verse 5, no guile, without fault before the throne of God. So it almost kind of, again, like I said, kind of seems like they're sinless. They never, like Jesus, never did anything wrong, never sinned. But that phrase I want you to think about, first fruits, because it says these were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. First fruits unto God and to the Lamb. Look in your notes, 1 Corinthians 15. Again, I'm not saying this is absolute, but could it be? The notes that I have, because comparing Old Testament with New Testament, who are the 100? What is it? Who cares? Who cares who the 144,000 are? I'm not here for it. But it's still interesting. I mean, to be a Bible student, we can't just leave Revelation out, right? Just because we're not going to be here. We still need to study it because it is for our learning. Doesn't God say in his word, all scripture is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for righteousness, right? So even Revelation is good for us. But it's very interesting. Who are the 144,000? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 20. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive, but every man in his own order. Christ, the first fruits. Afterward, they that are Christ at his coming. Remember? Those that are dead right now, our loved ones, those that have gone on before us, we're not going to prevent them at the rapture. They'll be, dead in Christ rise first. Then those which are alive and remain shall be caught up with the Lord to be with the heir. That's what it says. Afterward, they at Christ's coming. But notice, Christ the first fruits. Why plural? Why not singular? Christ. He's one. Why not Christ the first fruit? Afterward, they that are Christ at his coming. Why first fruits? Well, look at Isaiah in your notes. Because again, in 1 Corinthians 15, first fruits, it's speaking about those that are redeemed, those that will rise in the resurrection, those that will be with Christ. But again, who are the 144,000? And why does it say the first fruits? Isaiah 53, verse 8. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? Now, who is this talking about? He was taken. It's talking about Christ. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. Who's that? It's Christ, right? And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because Jesus, had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Jesus never spoke a wrong word, right? But notice back at the beginning of verse 8, who shall declare his generation? Who shall declare his generation? Speaking of Jesus' generation when he was on this earth. Okay, because Jesus came, he was born of a virgin, right? He was laid in the manger. He grew up like we all grow up. He had a childhood. He had teenage years. He was a young man. I mean, we see him at birth. We see him at 12 years old in the temple. We don't see him again until he comes onto the scene to start the ministry, preaching the kingdom of God, right? But Isaiah says, who shall declare his generation? Who did Jesus, or I should say, what children would Jesus have played with when he allowed himself to be a child that would have been his earthly age? What children would Jesus have played with that would have been his age? Because, when you were kids, I were kids, our friends were those that were our age, a little younger, a little older, whatever. Usually the same age, right? Because minds, have the same likes. So who, what children would Jesus have played with? But his age. That would have been his age. None. None. None that were his age. Remember when he was born? Remember when the wise men came to Herod and said, "Where's the king of the Jews? We've seen a star." And Herod required of the wise men, you know, or not the wise men, but required of the Pharisees, you know, "Where's he going to be born?" They said, "Well, in Bethlehem." Remember, he sent the wise men away and said, "Go find him, and when you find him, tell me so I can come worship him." But what happened? Did the wise men go back to Herod and tell him where Jesus was? No. The Bible says that when Herod, look down at your notes here at the bottom of the page, Matthew chapter 2. "Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and in all the coasts thereof from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, 'In Ramah was there a voice heard, lamentation and weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and would not be comforted because they are not.'" When Jesus was born, and when Jesus was about 2 years old, because the wise men came, they weren't there at the birth. The nativity scene is all wrong. The wise men were not there the night that Christ was born. Because when they show up, you read Matthew chapter 2, read back a couple verses from 16, and you see they come into the house. Remember the night Jesus was born, the shepherds came into the stable and saw him laying in the manger. The wise men didn't. When they finally got there, they came into the house where they were. Jesus was about 2 years old when the wise men show up, and that's, again, that's why Herod, when he realizes that he has been mocked by the wise men, he says, "You know what? We're going to kill all the children. All the children, 2 years old and younger." So what children did Jesus play with that would have been his age? None. They had all been killed. All right, they'd all been killed by Herod. Now, I was trying to, because he says, you know, all the children, even in the coast. So, I mean, everywhere there were Jews in all the land, Herod sent and killed all the children, all the Jews, all the males, two years old and under. Killed them. All right. So the question is still, who are the 144,000? It's possible that the 144,000 could be these children that were killed because of Christ. Virgins, faultless before God, no guile in their mouth. It seems like they never said a wrong thing. You show me one child who has not mouthed off to their parents in front of them or behind their back. All children have guile in their mouth, right? I can't even say that my kids don't. I'm saying it. Now, I'm not saying it's that's who they are, but it's interesting because, again, Christ and his first fruits. Well, these babies, these children, two years old and younger, even infants, newborns, being killed by Herod. all children, these children would have went straight to the Lord. Went straight to the Lord. The Bible talks about the age of accountability, talks about children, and so on. But it's possible. In Jeremiah 31, verse 15 through 17, thus saith the Lord, and again, this is what was quoted there in Matthew chapter 2. Thus saith the Lord, a voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation and bitter weeping, Rachel weeping for her children, refused to be comforted for her children because they were not. Thus saith the Lord, refrain thy voice from weeping and thine eyes from tears, for thy work shall be rewarded, saith the Lord, and they shall come again from the land of the enemy. And there is hope in thine end, saith the Lord, that thy children shall come again to their own border. What children? The children that were prophesied of being killed. Okay? They're not going to be cut off for eternity. I mean, they will inherit. They're part of, obviously, they're part of the tribes, 12,000 out of each tribe. Right? And I heard somebody, and I really couldn't find. So again, that's why you can't really be dogmatic and say this is who they are. But I heard someone quote somebody else that they had kind of did the mathematical equation or whatever of what would the possibility be as far as the population of the Jews during that time that Herod killed all the children, and from what they could come up with just going through the generations of stuff, it's a high possibility, a high probability that 144,000 children were killed. Now, he also wasn't being dogmatic just because, you know, he said, I could be off, whatever, but it's a very high probability that 144,000 children were killed by Herod. All right? So, again, but we also think about this. Cannot the Lord God Almighty, who is the giver of life and the one who fulfills all his purposes, accomplish anything according to his desired will? Is God restrained? Probably not the right word, but is he restrained to only using 144,000 men that are born right before the tribulation? For time's sake, we can't read it, but read Ezekiel chapter 37 on your own, and that's the chapter of the dry bones, where God tells Ezekiel, prophesy to the dry bones. And he sees a valley of dry bones. I mean, these are people that died, the bones are dried, and it talks about the sinew, the muscle, and everything, the skin coming back onto the dry bones, and the breath of life coming into them and them raising from the dead, basically. So God can use 144,000 that died innocently at the hands of a wicked man. Okay. Those can be, because again, virgins, no guile, no fault before God. But it also could just be, again, the Old Testament mirrors the New Testament, different things in the Old Testament mirrors the New Testament, different events and stuff. It also could be 140,000 Jewish men who, when the rapture takes place and the Antichrist comes on the scene, they realize, okay, we were wrong. And there could be 144,000 that get saved right before the rapture or get saved after the rapture, as far as putting their faith back in Jehovah God, realizing, wait, because how can the Antichrist fool the Israelites into believing he's the Messiah, he's the Prince of Peace? Because that's who they're looking for. They're looking for the Messiah. They don't believe Jesus, the majority don't believe Jesus was the Messiah. They're looking for the Messiah. So this Antichrist who pretends to be the Prince of Peace, because no one can strike up a peace deal for Israel among its enemies, but the Antichrist will for a short time. So So again, these 144,000, not quite sure. All right. It could be those children that died at the hands of Herod. It could be 144,000 Jewish men that truly have lived their life, given their life to the Lord, and truly kept themselves, you know, from. Okay. But regardless, there's 144,000 from the 12 different tribes of the Jews. Okay. So, when you go back to Revelation chapter 7, you look through 5 and verses 5 through 8, again, it records 12 tribes, 12,000 from each of the 12 tribes. Now, for time's sake, I'm not going to read it all, but the tribes that are mentioned are Judah, Reuben, Gad, Asher, Naphtalim, Manasseh, Simeon, Levi, Issachar, Zebulun, Joseph, Benjamin. If you know anything about the 12 tribes, there's something wrong with that list. I mean, there's only 12 tribes. Jacob only had 12 sons, but there's something wrong with that list. Because remember, Joseph, he had two sons in Egypt, Manasseh and Ephraim. So whenever you see the tribe of Joseph, it typically, it's included, all right, those two children, all right? But it's Dan and Ephraim. Manasseh is mentioned in the list. Joseph is mentioned, all right? But Dan's not mentioned. Dan was the third son born, the third son born to Jacob and born to Leah, all right? Leah and Rachel, okay? Leah's third son. Not third. That's Gad's the third. I think Dan was the fourth. All right? But Dan and Ephraim are missing from this list. Okay? Why would those two be missing? Again, Joseph, he equals Manasseh and Ephraim. Those are his two sons, and they are included in the tribe. So, sometimes when you're reading, it talks about Ephraim. Well, it's talking about the tribe of Joseph or Manasseh, okay? But in this particular thing about the 144,000, God sealing 144,000 Jews, 12,000 from each tribe for God's special appointment, his special task of preaching during the tribulation. So Jews and Gentiles will believe, all right, and get saved. But Dan and Ephraim are missing, all right? With Ephraim, all right, both Ephraim and Dan, they both committed idolatry against God. They both committed idolatry against God in the Old Testament. For Ephraim, Hosea chapter 4, verse 17 through 19, Ephraim is joined to idols. Let them alone. Their drink is sour. They have committed whoredom continually. Her rulers with shame do love. Give ye, the wind hath bound. I think I had a sentence erase on me. The wind hath bound her up in her wings. Right? Last part. They shall be ashamed because of their sacrifices. Something got cut off there. But Ephraim joined to idols. Okay? Rejected God and serving idols. Right? Jeremiah 7. And I will cast you out of my sight, speaking of Ephraim, as I have cast out all your brethren, even the whole seed of Ephraim. Therefore, pray not thou for this people, neither lift up cry nor prayer for them, neither make intercession to me, for I will not hear thee. Seest thou not what they do in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem? The children gather wood, and the fathers kindle the fire, and the women knead their dough to make cakes to the queen of heaven, and to pour out drink offerings unto other gods, that they may provoke me to anger. There are more verses, but basically God, he hasn't completely rejected them, but he has set them aside. They're still a tribe, but he, for this special thing that he does in chapter 7 with 144, they're not a part of it. He sets them aside. All right. I'm sorry. No, they don't. Because Joseph. I'll get to that. All right. But Ephraim, the name Ephraim is not mentioned, okay? Because they worshiped idols. Dan, though, is completely not in the list whatsoever. He's done with. Genesis chapter 49, very quickly. Only got a few minutes. Genesis 49, verse 16, 17. Dan shall judge his people as one of the tribes of Israel. Dan shall be a serpent, by the way, an adder in the path that biteth the horse heels so that his rider shall fall backward. Shall be a serpent. That's not a good compliment. Who's the serpent? The devil, right? Leviticus chapter 24, verse 11. The Israelitish woman's son blasphemed the name of the Lord and cursed. And they brought him unto Moses, and his mother's name was Shelemith, the daughter of Debri of the tribe of Dan. So here's someone in the tribe of Dan blaspheming the name of God. And you read on, this boy, he's stoned to death. He's killed. 1 Kings chapter 12, verse 28. Whereupon the king took counsel and made two calves of gold and said unto them, it is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Behold thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And he set the one in Bethel, and the other he put in Dan, in the city of Dan, in the tribe of Dan. And this thing became a sin, for the people went to worship before the one, even unto Dan. So Dan completely became just an idolatrous tribe. So God doesn't even let him be in the 144,000. In fact, it's some, and you can't really prove it, but some believe that the Antichrist will be from the tribe of Dan, that he'll be a mix. He'll be a mixed Jew and Gentile, okay, that comes from the tribe of Dan. But notice what Jesus says in Matthew 24, and we'll stop with this. And what's mentioned in 24, Jesus talking about the battle of Armageddon. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. There are going to be people that are saved during the tribulation. We don't know the number. Again, we don't even know you can't even number everybody in heaven. Because in the second part of Revelation chapter 7, talks about those that are converted under the preaching of these 144,000. It says you can't name them. It's just people from all nations and languages, right? But again, I know so many people want to be, again, dogmatic in you know, trying to explain Revelation and stuff, and you can't. Some things you might can. 144,000 is clear. Those are Jewish men. They're Jewish men who, again, who apparently it seems like they have no sin, which doesn't make sense because if you're born into this world, you're born in this world as a sinner. You have the sin nature, so how can they be faultless before God, having no guile? And again, I know there probably are some that, you know, have remained virgins. I know of a man who at my home church in Wisconsin got married in his 30s, and he was a virgin, and his mom could testify, his sisters. I mean, there were people that could testify, yeah, he's never been married, never, he's never had a girlfriend, never. You know, so when he got married in his 30s, he was a virgin. So it's like, what, 144,000? I mean, it's you know, it makes you think. You're not going to come up with a clear answer like, okay, it's these, right? But it's interesting. It's interesting for studying Revelation and, you know, and just the fact that, again, God is not willing that any should perish. So why would he let people die during the Great Tribulation, those 7 years, and not go to heaven? Now, those who reject Christ and they enter the tribulation, they're doomed. They're marked. those that take the mark of the beast, that's it, you're done. Once you get that mark of the beast, you can't convert back. You can't convert to Christ because you have sold your soul to the devil, all right? Apparently there are some that truly have seemingly been faithful to the Lord, and God's going to use them in a great way, and tens of thousands upon thousands are going to get saved during the tribulation, which is a wonderful thing, right? So let's have a word of prayer. Father, we do thank you for your goodness this morning. Father, thank you for just, Lord, guiding us through the scriptures. I do pray that you would continue to help us to compare scripture with scripture. I pray, Lord, that you would just help us to see the truths laid out in Revelation. Help us, Lord, to just really see the urgency to, Father, just tell other people about Christ and truly the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, and how they don't want to miss out being taken to heaven with the Lord. Father, I ask that you would just continue to help us to be the light, help us to be the salt, help us, Lord, to be the shining light as Jesus calls us to be. But Father, it's not us that saves. We can only be a testimony. It's the Holy Spirit that does the work in the heart. So Father, we ask the Holy Spirit would continue working in the hearts of our loved ones, continue drawing them unto Christ, even though that they may reject. As long as they're breathing, there is still an opportunity for them to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, for the love that you have for every single person. Father, we ask that you would continue to bless our time. For in Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right. Sorry.